Welcome to the Weekend Market Report. I'm Michelle Rook with Jerry Gahlke, president of the Gahlke Group. For the week, May corn was 3 cents lower. December corn lost 1 1/4. May soybeans climbed 14 1/4 cents. November 17 cents higher, with May soybean meal up 325 points and May soybean meal lost $6.70 per short ton. May Chicago wheat fell 9 1/4 cents. May Kansas City wheat plunged 22 1/4. And May Minneapolis wheat fell 15 1/4 cents. So, Jerry, we did have a higher weekly close in soybeans. In fact, this is the third week we've had a higher weekly close. But technically, what are you watching in the soybeans to confirm that the low is in?
As you know, I look at the price charts, and that tells you a lot, because there's probably, 10,000, might be 100,000, might be a million people asking the same question or more worldwide. In fact, South American people we know down there called and wanted to know the same thing you're asking. But so I go by what the market has done, and really, you know, is my opinion of our system of price discovery that we use. In other words, the Board of Trade, its job is to discover a price that's commensurate with what's going on in the market and what the actual and perceived fundamentals might be and what price that would dictate. And I watched the market go down, like, you know, with recipe, you know, from last fall, because I did store. We had about 10 to 20% of the beans left over, so I did store them in the commercial storage. Kind of knew it was wrong when I did it, but we were able to capture the carry and sell calls and pay for the storage and some of the downfall. But it's interesting to me that the market knew that it had to do something, or if in my case, where I said, if the soybeans could talk, here's what they might say. And they might say, well, I know that things changed in Brazil and the basis fell apart. We were shipping soybeans in from Brazil into the East Coast cheaper than they could buy them from me. So that just says we're too high priced, given the global situation and against our main competitor in soybeans that produces now actually more beans than we do, I think. So the market started down after the January report. After November's high, with a big reversal back then, that kind of told us that, and that's when I basically looked at that signal and said, I don't think it's going to go any higher. So I sold the bulk of the soybeans that right out of the field, and kept some just for giggles, I guess you call it. And we went down consistently after that. And then here comes South America and the question about that. The market, they got a jolt on January 12th. With an increase in yield for both corn and soybeans, which kind of really shocked people. And the market then was saying, we got to go even lower because we got more beans left than we thought. And the market then went down to the end of February, when all we heard about was short covering by the funds. And also that the problem with the farmer who was holding, you know, if you remember the stocks report back in September said that we were holding an extraordinary amount of soybeans and corn in the bin versus the year before. And then, of course, in December, we heard the same thing again. So the market seeks a price level that is either going to scare people into selling, and finally they had to make a decision at the end of February. If you had a basis contract, you either had to fix the base or fix the futures. In other words, it was mainly off of March, because most people think after the end of the year you'll get a rally. So the basis was fixed, and we actually talked to people that were in that position, and they had to make a decision by the end of February, the first day of March, either pay up or roll it from March futures to May futures. So if you had a 5 cent plus basis in corn, we'll say, you had to roll it to May, which was 13 cents more than March was. So you had to pay the elevator 13 cents more, but you got about the same basis then off of the May. And a lot of people keep doing that until they're broke. But in this case, it looked like we were very close to a value that was should gain some momentum, and especially in the beans. And what I looked at was that the low in the end of February, when that was the major flush out, I call it, never got as low as what we were back in June 2nd, I think, when we got made lows. If you remember, there was a time when November 2023 beans made new contract lows for that contract, and the front month, the March contract I never did go below that low. So we fell a lot. It felt like the world had fallen apart, but it didn't take out those lows and yet found support there a few cents away, turned around. And the key for me was that not only did we turn around the first week in March, but we closed above the previous week's high. In fact, the previous 3 weeks' high. So suddenly all that selling evaporated. And now there were people paying more for it over the beans than what they could have bought them for 3 weeks earlier. And the market turned. And that time when beans closed above the previous week's high, which has been a bellwether for us for a long time, because you learn a lot over those, every week you learn more. And that was the first time that we closed above the previous week's high since the top back in November. And before we slid about $2 a bushel. So the market had done its job. We got down to where we're somewhat competitive, but still not so much so versus South America. While we're waiting for important time and price movement and also the weather to evolve in South America. And since then, we rallied. So now we've rallied up to what most people are finally considering, a resistance level of about 30%, 32% of the whole move from top to bottom. So that $2 we lost from November to the end of February, you rally back. And then the question is, well, how high can you go? Well, there is some common ground as to where it's at. And usually it's 32% or 50% retracement. And that makes the logic. And we'll maybe someday we'll have a long seminar and we go into that. And that's what we did last week. In the meantime, a lot of my technical stuff that I use, the dailies and the weeklies, we're starting to turn positive, but we need to see another good week higher next week. We are also at a point in soybeans where we could close above the previous month's high. We got to, I think, 1199 or something. I'm looking at November beans. Got to 1199, and then once we get above the $12 level, I think is what the high was in November beans, and that's probably one we got to look at because that's the decision we have to make in planting beans. If we do that in the remainder of March, we will have posted a monthly key reversal higher. You can say all you want about how bad the fundamentals are and how bad things are, but if that happens to November, it would tell us the market is in the belief that we're not going to increase the acres in beans as much as everybody thought they would, and we're not going to reduce corn as much. So that's kind of where I'm at. I'm sitting here in neutral, actually long a little bit. We bought some beans back just on a from a spec standpoint, but I have no longer have anything sold, and in fact, even long a little bit for the end user that's using corn. I'm not sure whether that's a wise move or not, and we'll change our mind.
So what's the one thing fundamentally that could negate this trend in soybeans?
Soybeans have given me some real concern in that there's a wide dichotomy between what USDA says the crop is in South America, in Brazil especially, and what CONAB does, which is really the USDA of South America. And I've never seen them that wide before. Usually USDA waits until CONAB says such and such, and then they kind of change their mind. So either CONAB and the South American advisory services and estimators are lying to keep the price high enough, and that crop is huge, or we have yet to realize or price in the fact that that crop's not 152, it's 145. So there lies the rest of price discovery that takes place in March. And that's going to be very important for us to decide what we're going to plant.
So what about acreage? What are you planning to plant on your farm?
Right now, I don't like corn for the first time in my lifetime. I've already switched some more corn ground to bean ground, and I will probably plant beans on beans for the first time in maybe 15 years. And some days, I don't farm half the county, but some days I look at it and say, I might just plant beans on the whole works and see what happens. And because we can manage I can buy corn on the Board of Trade for next December delivery for nearly what it costs me to produce it. And that hasn't happened in a while. So there's a lot of opportunities and a lot of decisions to be made if you have the flexibility to do that. And that's what our price discovery system and futures and options give us the right to do that. And I think this is one of those years where we're going to need that. You have to ask yourself again the question next fall, if price of beans are as bad as they were just a couple weeks ago, next fall when we harvest and they're down in that below that $12 level and closer to 11, what's South America going to plant? What are they going to think of $4 corn next year if that's all the best we can do here? So The good news about, or the bad news about it, is that South America grows as much crap as we do. The good news is South America grows as much as we do, because when one of us has a hiccup, the other one wins. And I if we get out of whack one year, then we're going to benefit from the price discovery going higher because South America had a bust. So that's a long version of a short story, but this is a complicated deal, and we're in an election year. Who knows what kind of checks they're going to write to make have us change our mind at the last minute or something.
So because we have had some warm weather and it looks like we're going to get planting started early, do you think that means more acres of corn than we initially thought and less acres of soybeans?
Yeah, you know, we talked about it quite a while ago that given the crop that we had last year, that we're going to need to, that we do not need at least 6 million acres of corn. We've got to go somewhere with them. Well, I don't think it happened. I'm leaning more towards it might be 1.5 to 2.5 million acres more corn, and not as many beans. There was a time when, you know, when in reality, if you don't plant at least 3 million acres more beans, 3.5 million acres, the end user doesn't have a lot of cushion. And one of these days, they're going to be right about burning beans for fuel. The soybean oil thing will become more evident in price rather than just talk. So I think this concern might be at the end of June or at the end of March that we have a lot more corn and a lot more beans, a lot less beans planted. And if you think about it, March 15th, well, today's the day, the Ides of March, this is when the, I wonder if they designed it this way, the risk management people, but anyway, March 15th is when you had to make a decision from insurance. I looked at insurance. I probably won't buy any insurance at all. I don't need to buy it. The banker doesn't tell me when to get up and when to go to bed, but I can't see where it benefits me at all. If the price benefits me in Illinois, then it means that Iowa and Missouri and maybe Nebraska might have had a crop problem, and then the price is going to go higher. We'll solve part of the problem, especially in beans. And so, but there is nothing in the risk management crop insurance when no matter what kind of scheme you look like, that's going to impress me to plant one or the other. That's gone. After March 15th, it's up to the free market to decide how many acres it needs and doesn't need. And that's what we'll look at. And sometimes you can get really surprised as how the market reacts and says, oh, shoot, you know, we should have kept beans at $13 and Jerry would have planted a lot more of them and insurance would have covered them. Now you take 80% times the $11.50, you're down to around $8.50, $9 a bushel. If we get beans that low, there's going to be a lot of banks upset, and John Deere stock won't be worth much, and we'll see a lot of gnashing of teeth in the countryside, more than we've seen now.
So technically, Jerry, we had a little bit of a lower weekly close in the corn this week after two higher weekly closes. So is the low really in that market?
You know, I don't know for sure. I guess we'll react to it depending on right now. It's if you're going to, I think the market's going to try to impress as much as it can on if there's anybody left with the decision, they're going to make a decision very hard to plant corn. And that's kind of the job of the market. And it's kind of telling us, we probably need your beans, Jerry, but we need some insurance, but we sure don't need any more corn.
Thanks so much for joining us. That is Jerry Gulkey, president of the Gulkey Group. And for more information, you can contact Jerry at info@gulkeygroup.com. I'm Michelle Rook with the Weekend Market Report.